Retail therapy.
There it is. Oops. I was just going to ask what time the 3:30 podcast roll started, and here it comes.
Just here with the singing comes. Is when it starts. Oh, yes. Hello, goodness, everyone. Right. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Daily Edition, where Kai and I try our best, our darndest, our doodly-doo to make today make sense.
We're working it. We're trying. It is, of course, Thursday. Which is, it's like a regular show. So Monday and Thursday are the same, regular show-wise. Tuesday is the big show. Wednesday is What Do You Want to Know? This is for the new people. And then Friday is When We Drink. Look, I like people to know what's going on. I've been told many times in my career as a radio person, you have to bring the listeners along. So I'm bringing them along.
Yeah, that's right? Radio stuff. This is podcasting. Just kidding. I do have... A word of warning, yes. Which is that I did not bring, I just brought some regular flat water, but today is my Friday. I will not be here tomorrow because it is my birthday weekend. Thank you for all of you who sent me nice wishes on Twitter. So Kai's going to have to, you know, have a co-host. You guys are going to have tons of fun. It's going to be great.
It's me and Rima Kreis from our podcast, This Is Uncomfortable. So
we'll do
that live video thing. I don't know what she drinks, but I don't see her as a beer person, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I guess I'll be surprised.
But now I'm curious and I'm totally going to watch.
You are not. Don't be weird. That would be weird. You may not watch. You're banned.
Maybe later. I won't watch live.
Okay. All right. Fine. God, that would freak me out, man. You can't do that.
I'll just start sending him slacks. You know, what I would have said here is.
that would be weird. Don't do that.
Okay. I won't.
So, news, shall we?
Okay. Let's do the news. Like? Yours looks, you this it. Looks exciting. I'm excited about the macroeconomic bleepity bloop.
Oh, stop. You are making fun of me.
No, it actually looks pretty cool, and I want to know.
Okay. So Henry Paulson, former Secretary of the Treasury, now the guy behind the Paulson Institute, which is foreign affairs and China specifically, he has a piece in the new Foreign Affairs magazine about the U.S. dollar being the world's reserve currency. And he goes long and deep into the whole thing, and it's reasonably interesting if you're wonky. But here's the paragraph that I would like to highlight to the audience of this podcast, because this is the nut graph, as they say. Here's what Paulson says. And for those who don't know Henry Paulson, former Secretary of the Treasury, worked with Bernanke and Tim Geithner to handle the Great Recession. Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. The dollar's status, Paulson writes, is a proxy for the fundamental soundness of the American political and economic system. To safeguard the dollar's position, the U.S. economy must remain a model of success and for emulation. The U.S. political system must be responsive to today's economic challenge. And I would posit here that perhaps our political system right now is not responsive to today's economic challenges. That's why I wanted to highlight it. Paulson, who's been in this barrel before, right? He was in the middle of the Great Recession, is saying we're not matching up, keeping up, whatever it is.
Is that what he's
saying?
Yeah.
Doing it. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Is that what he's saying? That we're just, yep.
Yeah. We're not doing it. You know?
Yeah. That's keep reading, you know. Now we're just so making bummer mouth sounds. I keep reading these long Twitter threads.
In Foreign Affairs. Go ahead and read it. Yeah, yes, you're reading long Twitter threads about what?
Oh, you know, anything, right? Like, here's a long Twitter thread about how this is the policy response that we need. So it'll be like a long Twitter thread lays out the problem. Like, this is the trauma that is occurring with kids. This is how we need to evolve our lockdown policy to make it, you know, less one size fits all and more appropriate to this and that. And this is coming from like the whistleblower guy who was talking about coronavirus in December, for God's sake, Eric Feigelding. But pick a Twitter thread and it ends with, we need a sound policy response and this and that. And I'm always like, okay, well, I'm out. Thanks for just making me mad because we don't have one.
The thing is, we know all this stuff. We know what the right thing is to do. We know what the right thing to do is in this pandemic. We know in broad terms what the right thing is to do in our fiscal situation, right? We know. Mm-hmm. It's just the people we've elected aren't doing it.
Yep. Probably even some of them know and just are stuck in a box of politics.
Oh, they all know. They all know. Yep. They all know.
Yeah.
You can't.
And they can't get out.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. It is difficult to watch. I have been lately, it's not a make me smile, but lately I've been trying to lean on a quote that someone said to me recently, which was Winston Churchill saying about America, America always does the right thing, but only after it tries all the wrong things first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I'm just going to try to cling on to that and hope that we're just in the wrong thing part right now.
One has to imagine we will get there.
One really does have to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Today, things got kind of interesting in the ongoing thread of Silicon Valley saying no one ever has to come to work again. Because when Twitter started saying, you know, some employees will be able to work from home forever, it was like, okay, this is just the beginning of what is going to become a snowball effect, because it's going to become a hiring and competition thing. And so since then, you've seen Square, not surprisingly, because they share Jack Dorsey, say the same thing. Shopify, Coinbase, you know, a bunch of other companies. And then Facebook today said, yes, most likely within the next 5 to 10 years, at least half of Facebook's employees could be working remotely. Facebook is less into this overall. They're like that culture, that company culture is very face-to-face. But nevertheless said, I mean, you're really seeing some companies like say, we're totally fine with it. We don't think you need to, I mean, Twitter and Square are not that surprising because Jack Dorsey was beating the decentralization drum back when he was like, I'm going to spend a year in Africa. So Facebook is a little more reluctant. And I think you can tell by the fact that when Mark Zuckerberg made this announcement, he also said, just to be clear, if you leave the Bay Area and move somewhere else, like you obviously have to tell us for tax and accounting reasons, and then we will adjust your salary to your location at that point. So he was the first one to come out and say, just to be clear, you are not taking your fat Silicon Valley salary and buying like a 12-room mansion or whatever in Idaho. That's not going to fly.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because on the one hand, that makes perfect economic sense, right? Like sending a bunch of workers out with their huge Silicon Valley salaries to, which are cost of living based, to estates and cities that have a cost of living that's a fraction of that is like unleashing a whole series of sharks into pools of minnows. Like if you look at San Francisco and the fact that normal people can't afford houses because they don't get huge stock options that are worth like hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know what would happen. You would completely screw up the economy of those places.
Yeah, of the place, right.
It's sort of like the argument that like you can't, that as much as it makes moral sense for, say, Apple to pay U.S. wages to people who work in factories in China, I think there's probably even, I think there's even a term for what that would do to the economy. Like it would just screw it up. People would just be like, Mr. Burns, like I'm going to buy.
Term, actually, Molly, I think you got that's the term.
So anyway, logically, in a very Spock / Mark Zuckerberg kind of way, it makes perfect sense to say you shouldn't get paid the salary if you live in a place where it's like way cheaper. Yeah. But you got to admit, it's still kind of like a jerk move to say it out loud.
It kind of is to say it out loud. That's exactly
and
right.
It makes,
it's kind of a jerk move.
It makes me think what he's saying is don't do it.
Yep.
Right? Like don't. Yep. Well, look, don't he's, work I mean, he's already. I don't really want you to.
Right. But he's already putting some limits on it, right? It's not anybody who wants to. It's you got to be a strong performer, right? With really solid like performance reviews. You have to be relatively senior, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I think you're right, actually. That's a good insight, right? It's not just anybody. And I don't really want you to do this. But because everybody else is saying it, it's cool, then I'm going to say it's cool.
Then right. I guess it's kind of cool. Yeah, exactly.
Then I guess I have to make it cool. Right. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Zuckerberg. All right.
All right. Somebody,
it's smiling
somebody
time.
Hit me with some happy music. There we go. What have we? I kind of like mine. Can I just tell you I kind of like mine?
Okay. I just clicked on it and I love
so
it.
So mine is, all right, that's the dog. I'm going to go close the door.
The
you're
dog.
Still going to hear the dog. I know. Hang on.
I'm that, so oh, cool with that. Cover.
Well, this is very interesting. All right, hang on one sec. Let me close the door. Hey, Bonds, come here, Bonds. Come here. Sorry, this is like real time.
Oh my God, this is
Bonds,
awesome. This is awesome.
Come here, Bonds, come here. Come here. Come here.
Best
Bonds,
show
come here.
Ever.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Come here. Hang on one second.
No problem.
Jose.
In the interim, while Kai works on this, I'm going to say that Erica in Slack just pointed out that the Winston Churchill thing, it wasn't a real quote.
Oh, man.
Wah,
that sucks.
Wah.
Really? That's terrible. All right. Well, I got things on something in Slack a while ago. But all right. So here's mine. You ready? I got mine. And I kind of love this.
Okay. Hit it.
McSweeney's. Mm-hmm. McSweeney's has about had it with the New York Times not saying the words "the president lied." So they have come up with some style guide. It's actually the New York Times style guide substitutions for the president lied. Here we go. The president, offering no evidence, insisted upon his version of the story. The president extemporized with a blithe disregard for established fact. The president once again found himself galloping ahead of reality's leisurely pace. The president dabbled anew in the shallow pond of misrepresentation, filling his beak with succulent morsels hidden among the reeds. I'll stop in a minute. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and the president? The president took the one less truthful. All right, anyway, so there's a bunch of them. It's in McSweeney's. It's awesome. Truly. Just run with it.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. I feel like I've seen at least three of those in the New York Times. Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's frustrating.
Yep. Absolutely brilliant. If you have wondered in your life, like why when you went to Yosemite or Yellowstone or Glacier or Death Valley and you never saw any animals, turns out it was you.
I'm sorry, what?
It was you / all of us. We were the reason. Apparently in the U.S. national parks, which are closed, critters are everywhere.
Wow,
and so
that makes total sense.
The few park staff, it makes total sense. And apparently it is just delightful. Like they're talking, for the few people who are left in some of these parks, they're talking about how like deer, bobcats, black bears are all over. One coyote was just like chilling in an empty parking lot. Like there's, you know, grizzlies all over Yellowstone, pronghorns in Death Valley that they actually didn't even think were there. They were like, we think we're there. Oh my God, darling.
By the way. That was the dog show.
Love it. Yep. I'm familiar with that. Sometimes I take the collar off if I want to let him sneaky lounge here.
That's kind of awesome. I kind of like
that. I'm so excited that your dog made an appearance for this because, exactly, the critters are everywhere.
Because. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They are here in my little shed. Oh my goodness. That's so nice.
I think we are lucky to get to work with our critters and our families.
And what's funny is she's like sniffing around now because she doesn't come in here. So this is Bonsai, a little black dog. We've got a golden who comes in here every morning with me at 6 o'clock who's like, yeah, I've been here before or whatever. But Bonsai's just like sniffing around now.
Bonsai's having a treat.
That's the deal. I hope I didn't say treat loud enough for Bonsai to hear. No, although
she doesn't know the word Don't say it out loud.
She knows the word F-O-O-D, let me tell you. Faux show.
See, how great is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez, Mark Zuckerberg. Working from home is fine.
That's right. Also, get a dog. Get a dog.
Get a dog.
All right.
That's it for us. We have to go. But before we do, oh my God, you guys. I mean, seriously, we are blown away by the love of the Make Me Smart listener. Right?
Isn't that you being blown away? That was me being blown away. This is the last day of the big marketplace. Please help us out, drive. Let me give you the URL. It's marketplace.org/givesmart, and that codes it for us. So Molly and I get a cut of that. That's not true. We don't. But it would really help us if you would do it here at marketplace.org/givesmart, because then we would look good in terms of like what the bosses think about this podcast.
That's very true. Also, it will potentially save jobs at Marketplace.
That's the really serious part, right? Everybody's getting squeezed. Our revenues from underwriting are getting cut. I mean, look, journalism matters. We like to think that what we do matters on this podcast, giving you context and meaning and maybe a laugh or two. So hook us up. Marketplace.org/givesmart, please.
And sincerely, thank you. Like, we really, truly have been just flabbergasted by the generosity of listeners and how happy you are to have the show every day. And so it makes us, like, it's a virtuous circle.
There you go. I'm taking this.
And
Make Me Smart is pretty, what? Go ahead.
I was going to take this. Take it. I was going to jump into that bit, and it's yours now.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote produces video with the help of our intern, Ethan Parrott. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and our smart speaker explainers.
Today's program was engineered by Daniel Ramirez, who may or may not have whispered to me that he is totally leaving in all that dog stuff. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and that very same stinker, Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves, and the senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark.
I mean, look, if you don't want the real, don't listen to this podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
That is
all
I'm
saying. It's the best part.
Oh, man.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.